I think the hijab is extreme, but you don't for some reason, and I don't know why. Now I'm a Christian.
Hijab,
I just can't get past this idea, and I'm trying to be open-minded because I'm an open-minded man, a modern man. But the idea that a garment that a religion has forced women to wear for more than 1,000 years because they're women, forcing them to be modest. But I think the hijab is extreme, but you don't for some reason, and I don't know why. Now I'm a Christian.
You need to turn the tables around, right? In persuasion, you need to turn the tables around and show him some evidence from his own book and from his own system of thought.
Now I'm a Christian.
Because he's seeing that there is a problem.
But I think the hijab is extreme, but you don't for some reason, and I don't know why.
And you know that there is no problem. But if you're always just explaining, then it's like you having your back to the ropes. And you need to turn that situation around. So I introduced the idea of hijab earlier on. It's mentioned in the Bible that a woman is not authorized to teach in the church. A woman is not authorized to teach in the church. If she wants to know something, she should ask her husband at home. So now, this is more than any Muslim will say, because even the most conservative Muslim will say that in the masjid, there can be a class held by a sister, and she's teaching at least other sisters, right? So she can be a teaching person. To say that a woman cannot speak in the church, even speak, it says so, that the woman should not speak in the church, that she should remain silent. These are specific stipulations in the Bible. One can go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15, and see that these regulations are there in the Bible.
Hijab, too. I'd throw that in. In the form of the hijab, for example, just to name one.
No. It's alive and well, more importantly,
this is so lunatic,
in the workplace.
I can't go on. Now, I'm a Christian.
So now, to cite them something like this may be surprising to them because they never thought of it before. They haven't read the whole Bible. The Bible is a big book, much bigger than the Quran. So, you know, most Muslims have not read the Quran from beginning to end. And if they've read the Quran, maybe they read it in Arabic, even though they don't understand the language, just for the barakah, the blessings, and they don't know the instructions therein. So a lot of Christians may not be familiar with the details of the Bible, and they think that whatever is the modern Western society, that is what Christianity is. And now they're coming to you and say, how could your Islam be like this? They don't realize that what we are talking about is common to the world's religions. So decency in society, dressing well for both men and women, this is what is taught by the world's religions. The Bible itself says that women should be modest and not go with their hair decorated and so on, wearing decorations, but they should come in a humble and modest way. So basically, that's what we're talking about as well. So when you show them that there is something comparable in their own scriptures, then that will help them to understand the point about Islam as well.
Hello everyone, this is Mare from Beautiful You Ministries, and our topic for today is modesty. What exactly does the Bible say about modesty, and why is it so important? 1 Timothy 2, 9-10 says, "And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do." And this church isn't very different from the churches of today. Women today are more focused on their outward beauty and being pleasing to the eye. But God doesn't look at outward beauty. He knows what He created. True beauty is shown through action. Even the most attractive woman in the world loses all the power in her beauty when she's vile and goes around hating everyone and everything. Beauty and evil do not coincide. When women are fixing themselves up to look nice for others, spending hours on their hair, deciding what clothes to wear, what jewelry is going to match, are they really being godly? If a woman has herself so attractive that a man other than her husband is looking at her with lust, this man is committing a sin. And if a woman causes a man to stumble, she's not considered holy or righteous or godly. So how should a godly woman conduct herself? I personally believe that her hair shouldn't be flowing around beautiful, gorgeous for other men to look at, that her skin shouldn't be showing off, that her body shouldn't, her figure shouldn't be known. Her clothes shouldn't accentuate her curves. And I know how judgmental the world is, ladies, but we are called to be set apart. Other men should have no desire to gaze upon us with lust. Rather, their eyes should be out of respect. And yes, we can control this. The King James Version reads, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." So two words stand out here, shamefacedness and sobriety. Shamefacedness means a sense of shame or honor, modesty, bashfulness, reverence, regard for others, and respect. Sobriety means to have soundness of mind and self-control. So a woman should humble herself, regard others, think before she speaks, and respect everyone around her. A godly woman does not draw attention to herself, for a godly woman does not want the attention drawn on her, but on our wonderful Creator. This was Mare with Beautiful You Ministries. Shalom and God bless.
Jesus' mother Mary, what did she do? She wore hijab. Jesus, before he was born, did Jesus' mother worship him who was not even brought into this world yet? And then when he was a little baby, was she worshiping him as a god? No, she was worshiping the same God that our sister now is worshiping. Allah, Allaha in Aramaic, the sister language to Arabic. I want people to see the commonalities and to see the authentic, pure message that Muslims are upon. And you'll see in 1 Corinthians, it says that a woman who prays, prophesies without her head covered, she might as well shave her head off. She dishonors her head. It's in the Bible. It's there. So bits and pieces of it are there, but it's been altered, it's been changed. That's why the Creator sent the Quran. Tamper-free, tamper-proof, and it is the verbatim word of God. And the final message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and more people who are sincere truth seekers are seeing this. The message is resonating because it's straightforward, it's simple, it's based on logical proofs and evidences. Do what she suggested you do, real simple. Do what Jesus did. He didn't put no monkey in the middle. He didn't put anyone between him and God. He dialed up direct. Do that. Call on the Creator alone and ask for the guidance, ask for the direction. Ask for the purpose of life from the one who made you, your maker. Straightforward, simple, nothing esoteric, strange here. Worshiping only one God, the Creator, not the creation. I keep mentioning it over and over because that's what Islam is all about. And if you can dig that, everything else will fall in place. If you can't even understand that, how are we going to help you understand anything else?